Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hey, Dude, the 90s called. I am Christine. I think we're on a first name basis now. Don't you? I'm here with my co-host.
I'm David Lasher.
Oh, he's going to go. You're going to go with two names. Good. All right.
Oh, sorry. I'm David.
You're going to keep it formal. No, we can keep it formal. We can keep it loose. Let's see how it goes.
I could use my middle name, too.
And we have a really exciting episode today. If you've clicked on it, you already know who it's going to be. And by the way, it's Jason Priestley, which you know if you've already, unless you blindly hit buttons and don't know what guests you're getting. But I did notice after our after we invited our listeners to throw out suggestions, I saw that someone put Jason Priestley as a suggestion. So ask and you shall receive.
I'm not surprised. Honestly, I was there with them in the middle of that 1993 where the show exploded. And like, I don't think in our lifetimes we've seen that type of fame explode in that way. Maybe some musicians, but
I would say Friends would be the other.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Right. When you look at it as in, you know what I mean? The next iteration of that. No question that was like explosive.
Christine, I did the show in the summer. I forget, 93 or 94. And I remember being, seeing them on the cover of Rolling Stone like a month later. And wow. I was like, what the heck is going on here? And it was like, you know, when you had to, it was like appointment TV, right? You had to tune in on the night. And I, you know, you and I have both worked on so many projects. I've never worked on anything where I was that recognizable that quickly. And I can't imagine what Jason's life was like for those number of years.
Oh my gosh. I know we're going to have to ask all of these juicy questions, because those are like understanding what, how your life changes on a dime. And I also remember, you know, you obviously auditioned and were cast in the show. I auditioned and was not cast in the show. So it was always the show that everyone wanted to be on. I didn't audition for the series. It was just to come on as a new character. So I don't remember auditioning for it as a pilot or any of that, but I do remember it was like a really coveted new character that was coming on who had to sing, and you know, everyone had to sing Janis Joplin.
Who got the role?
Christine Elise got the role. Christine.
And I think that was Jason's girlfriend, right?
Yeah. For a while. I mean, yeah. Again, yes. Sliding doors. What might have happened? But I didn't even get close. In fact, I'll go so far as to say, I think I was so nervous. It was a horrendous audition.
No, you did not give a horrendous. You couldn't possibly give a horrendous.
One day we'll have an episode where we talk about like the worst auditions we can remember, because there are some really cringy ones. And I want to start asking our guests a little bit more about, because we're talking to so many successful people. And I know we talked about it with Ben a little bit of like, what were the failure moments? I love to hear those moments of like, what did you totally tank? What didn't you get that you wanted? Because, you know, we're all human. But yeah, I was thinking about the impact that show made and the cultural, pop cultural phenomenon that it was. Like, you no one wanted to miss it. That opening, the opening credits that everybody, the song. clap, clap. Oh, and that's a perfect intro to Jason Priestley, who has just arrived.
Hey guys.
Hi. Jason Priestley. Guys, we have Jason Priestley on our podcast. Like, what are we doing right that this is happening? Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you got it, guys. My pleasure. How are you, David?
It's good to see you, bro. Really, it's been so long.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, man. It's definitely been a minute.
I need to hear all about this.
Oh yeah, we had good times. Are you in Nashville? Did I see?
Yeah. We live in Nashville, Tennessee now.
So we had one of my best friends, Melissa Joan Hart, on the other day, and she lives in Nashville. She's raising her three kids there. And I don't know. Do you guys ever hang out? Do you see her?
She literally lives right down the road from me. We live on the same street.
Stop. No. Unreal.
I see her and her husband all the time.
That's the best.
It is. It's super cool. Actually, I saw her this weekend too. It was a big 90s con in Hartford, and it was like you know, the cast of Saved by the Bell and the cast of 90210 and the cast of Melissa's show. You know, it was pretty funny, man. It was really fun to see a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people I knew from back in the 90s, you know, kicking around LA, and I'm sure a lot of people you knew too, that we all kind of came up together. It was really, it was a lot of fun to see a lot of those people again.
Like taking a time machine back there and everybody's together again. How was it? So much fun.
It was super fun. You know, I saw a lot of people I hadn't seen, you know, like Dave Coulier was there. You know, I hadn't seen Cooler in years, right? We used to play hockey together, and so it was really fun to see him. And you know, Lisa Donovan was there, and I hadn't seen Lisa in probably 10 years. You know, so it was super fun to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time.
It looked like fun. I saw a lot of the social media stuff on that. Christine, we should have definitely done an episode.
I think
they
must have forgotten our invitation.
We only started this recently, so I think it was too late. But
we're very new. We're very new.
Jay, man.
Yeah, what was the genesis of this? How did you guys come up with this, and when did you start doing
it? Dude,
this?
It was Jenny and Tori for me.
Oh, yeah, really?
They invited me on their show. You know, they have that 90210 OMG podcast with iHeart. And so I went on to recap the first episode I did during the summer craziness. And and then there was another week where Tori had to be out. So they asked me to co-host with Jenny, and I became, you know, it was great to catch up with them. But I became friends with their producer, Amy Sugarman. And we talked about doing a look back on a decade rather than a single show. And working with Jenny and Tori on their show is how this came to be.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. So you sort of became the Mark Consuelos to Jenny's Kelly.
I guess I'm piggybacking on them, man. They're
and
doing
then, yes. A then great you got job. Your own, and then I became your Mark Consuelos, right?
To David. Yeah, right? Yeah. Jason. Sort of, yeah. By the way, Amy Sugarman said. We can only sell the show if you get Christine Taylor. We've told this story a million times, but I blew up her phone after like years of not speaking to her. And I said, we could sell a podcast.
Why weren't you guys speaking? What happened? Tell me that story.
Things were actually, we were on good terms at that point because we had come back together. Oh. There was a period of time after we had worked together as teenagers. I look forward to hearing your stories about when you guys ended and where things went, because when you're working so closely together, and David and I dated, we were like each other, like I was your first love, David. David was like my second boyfriend. And it ended very sadly and with some heartbreak and bitterness. So we did separate for a while and then came back together when our show, this little cable show on Nickelodeon, Hey Dude, had a reunion in 2014. So we did reconnect. We just hadn't really talked. Like, we had stayed in touch a little bit, but, on group chats and stuff. But we were on good terms at that point.
Nice. Jay, do you keep in touch with your castmates from 90210?
I do. I mean, I keep in touch with Ian and Brian and I'm in touch with Jenny and Tori, you know, and as much as I can, you know, I keep in touch with Tiffany, and it's all really awesome when we see each other, you know, we're all super busy and we're all, you know, we all live all over the place.
Families, everyone's doing their lives.
Life and family and careers and, I mean, when we do get together, we're like a big family who, you know, spend a lot of time together and have a lot of history and we pick up right where we left off. Like time has passed. Even if we haven't seen each other in years, we pick right up and are like, you know, it's like,
right.
No,
you know,
passed,
each other
right?
in a Does way have- that's like a deeper, like someone that you went to college with or somebody, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We all have a very deep connection and a very deep knowledge of each other and a great shorthand with each other. Right. And it's always super fun. And we always have a great time. Like, we had a great time this weekend, man. We were all laughing and having fun. And there's so many inside jokes with us all too. Right. I feel bad for people who are new to this situation because it takes them a while to catch up. Right. but that's really good. You know, I'm glad that we've all been able to stay as close as we have.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I want to hear just sort of the beginning, because I feel like, it always sounds like it's an overnight success, right, Jason? But were you sort of, had you been out and auditioning and kind of going from job to job prior to that?
Me? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it only took me 10 years to become an overnight success, right?
Right.
I'm no different than anybody else. I moved to LA to, you know, to chase my my dreams of making it in Hollywood, you know, in the mid 80s. And I and I kicked around town like everybody else, and a movie here, movie there, failed TV series on NBC, you know, was making the rounds like everybody else. And when my show was getting canceled on NBC, I was the last guy in town to go in and read for the role of Brandon Walsh, because I was on a show, and I was unavailable until all of a sudden I was available, because my show was obviously going down in flames, which was a show called Sister Kate that Stephanie Beecham was the star of, and that show was obviously not coming back. And my agent, was able to get me in the door, and literally Aaron Spelling had seen every other young actor in town for the role of Brandon Walsh. And I think I was, the last guy or the second to last guy to go in and read for the part. And that was on a Thursday, and on Friday I went to Fox, to do my network reading. On Sunday, we did a table reading at Aaron's house. And on Monday, I started shooting the pilot. Like it was they were down to the wire. They needed to find their guy.
Wow.
They didn't have, I think maybe I was just the best available for the money.
But you surely didn't see what was coming. Yet. I mean, let me tell you, Aaron Spelling, Christine, so you know, Aaron Spelling is like a family guy. And my experience with him was that I did a show called Jack of Hearts for Aaron Spelling in Las Vegas. And we did like half a season. It got canceled. He immediately brought me in to play this role on 90210, which was at the time I didn't even know, but controversial and maybe a gay character before that was being depicted on shows like mm-hmm. that. And then after that, he called a producer named Carla Singer and said, you got to give this kid this movie. He got me a movie. He tried to set me up with Tori. I mean, he was like, if he liked you, right? Jason yeah. Aaron Spelling yeah. was your guardian angel.
Your champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was super loyal. He was a lovely, lovely, big-hearted guy.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, he was also tough as nails, you know? And when he felt like he'd been betrayed, he got super hurt. Right. And he was super sensitive that
way
too.
Did you betray him?
No, I didn't. But you know, there's all those like legendary stories of, the guy who played Link on the Mod Squad, who went in there, you know, demanding more money. And Aaron like picked up the phone and said, hey, you remember that show I was thinking about canceling? Cancel it. Hung up the phone and said,
oh yeah. Look, you don't become,
you don't work here anymore. Get out of my office. You know, there's all those great
right.
legendary stories about Aaron, right?
He's a brilliant businessman. He was a brilliant businessman, but a great friend as well.
Yes, he was 100%. I loved him dearly, and he did so much. He did so much for your career, did so much for my career. I'm indebted to him for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I remember that time, though. I mean, just as someone who would audition for all of the Aaron Spelling shows and never get cast.
Oh yeah, Christine's got some resentment.
No, I do not have resentment. I admittedly probably, I mean, those jobs were the most sought after, the shows, because they were mostly long running shows and they were getting, you know, huge ratings and viewers. I mean, and it was its own sort of institution. And it was sort of like, if you could get on one of those shows, my God. So I feel like those were the most coveted, as I can recall. And I remember going to the various places when I auditioned for 90210. I think I remember the Aaron Spelling offices.
On Wilshire Boulevard, on Wilshire. Up on the top floor there, with yep. the deep shag carpeting and everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was super lush, super cozy.
Intimidating.
Yeah, so intimidating. And you really felt like, okay, I'm getting somewhere. This is like my career. This is happening. And then I wouldn't get the job. You
guys,
it was like the Charlie's
Angels office.
Yeah.
It was. So you probably, Christine, you probably read for like, not even for 90210, you probably read for Melrose Place and for Models Inc. and for Savannah and for like Nurses, like all of them, right? Yeah.
Sign me up. I'll put my name down on the sign-in sheet and not get cast. I think 90210, I auditioned for the part that ultimately went to Christina Lise, but every girl in Hollywood was going in and singing a Janis Joplin song. And it was like, we were out in the valley where you guys, you know, wherever the casting offices were, and it was mobs, like the lineup of this, and you would just see every person's name that you've auditioned against for the last like 3 years. But no, and I think I totally tanked it. I mean, the minute they throw "You Gotta Sing" also, and I can sort of carry a tune, but that puts a level of nerves into the situation that might not otherwise be there.
All of a sudden you're singing Mercedes Benz and there's people in the parking lot that actually have an acoustic guitar and you're like, oh, come on.
No, really? That's exactly right. I was
you
like,
could
this
have
is
told me about this.
This is so, I'm cringing at myself already that I thought I was edgy by putting on a jean jacket for the for the thing. That was my version of edge back in the 90s.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Jason, you guys filmed at, you had the most glamorous show in the world at the time. And you filmed at this studio that I don't even know how to describe it. It wasn't the Warner Brothers lot. It wasn't the Paramount lot.
No.
It was like a warehouses deep out in the valley, right?
Wasn't it like Van Ness or something? Van Ness. Or
yeah.
It was in a fucking drive-through, a hangar.
Yeah, it was. We were in these converted warehouses deep, deep, deep in Van Nuys, California. We always joked that we were like in porn star capital.
Yes, it did feel like that.
Like that's where they shoot all the porn movies, right? It was, and right next door to our warehouse was another where. This was back in the day when pornography came on VHS tapes, and it was a porno duplication warehouse where there was just like 10,000 VHS machines that were making pornos,
churning them out
all day and all night. And like that's the kind of place where our studio was. Like it was all class all the time.
The glamour of show business.
Oh yeah.
The show blew up so fast. I remember I did the first episode on the beach, and then quickly after you were on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and I was like, "What?" And we'll talk about Luke, but he was one of my first friends in LA. And I remember how welcoming you and he and Jenny, everyone on that set, you guys had this magic around you, but you were so welcoming to people that came to support your cast. And I was like, what is going on here? Like this, it doesn't happen anymore. But you were, what was life like at that time? Because I can't imagine how you left your house.
Well, it was, I mean, look, the reason we were as welcoming to our guest cast and recurring characters like you were, was, you know, Luke and me and Ian and, you know, Jenny even, you know, we'd all spent enough time kicking around in Hollywood. And certainly for me, I'd done enough work back in Canada where I was from. I'd spent enough years guesting on other people's sets, I'd been treated well by the, you know, number one and number two on the call sheet, and I'd been treated badly mm-hmm. by number one and two on the call sheet. And so I knew what kind of a set I wanted our set to be like. And so I really went out of my way to make sure that everybody was happy on our set and felt welcome and knew that we, you know, whatever, you know, hey man, whatever you need, let us know. You know, we got a guy to get you whatever you need, right? I just wanted to make sure that our place of work was a positive place of work, because God knows, you know, although people think that you know, the entertainment business is nothing but, you know, champagne and, you know, working for 4 hours and then going home and taking off your tuxedo. It's not right. Like we show up to work before the sun comes up, and you know, you're basically, you know, hustling to get your last shot before the sun goes down. And then you fight the traffic to try to get back home. And then you got 2 hours of homework to do before you get up in the morning
and turn it right
and
around.
Do it again. Right. So I just worked really hard to make sure that our set was a happy set where everybody had a good time at work. And, you know, we worked hard, but we, you know, I wanted to make sure we had a lot of laughs too. And it was a positive place. And, you know, and Luke was on board with that, and Ian was on board with that, and Jenny and Tori and everybody got on board. Right. And so that was, and even Shan, right. Like everybody got on board with that. And we all had a good time at work, and that was that. And I think that came across when people watched the show. They knew that we were all having a good time.
It was a very happy, safe, welcoming place to work. But what was your life like at the height of it? Like, if you could recall, you know, the height of 90210. I don't know, aside from maybe a few musicians, and you had a partner in crime too. I mean, you and Luke together. Yeah. It's a very unique situation. You have a best friend to go through it with. But what was life like? Like, how did you go to a restaurant? How did you go through the world being as famous as you were?
Yeah, it was challenging for a few years there. You know, that sort of fame is difficult to navigate. And you just sort of have to, you know, you just kind of have to choose your moments, and you end up just staying home. A lot is what I found. That kind of worked the best.
I'm just going to isolate.
Yeah, and you just kind of do that, right? And you know, and luckily, you know, it's the purloined handcuffs, right? Because you know, yes, some of your freedoms get stripped away from you, but you know, you're very well compensated for that. So, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad, and You just sort of have to adjust your lifestyle a little bit and understand that, you know, maybe Jumbo's clown room is off the table for a while, right?
No Chuck E. Cheese for you.
Exactly. And you just adjust your lifestyle, right? Because, you know, like everything in life, you know, that sort of fame is very cyclical, right? Like
it doesn't happen anymore. I don't think maybe some of these YouTube people are TikTokers, but there's no TV actors or even film actors that had that sort of recognizability that you have now that are coming up. I can name anybody.
Yeah, I don't think, well, because appointment television like that, it doesn't really happen much anymore. You know, I mean, it's sort of maybe starting to come back the way that, you know, like HBO Max only releases the new episode of The Last of Us on Friday night. So everybody watches it on a Friday night. So maybe it's starting to come back, which is kind of cool, you know, because it sort of brings back that, you know, the water cooler show, and, you know, everybody I think sort of likes that. But you know, for a long time, those sort of appointment television shows went away.
Like an hour television series, you're working, what, 9 months out of the year, you know, 5 days a week, 14, 16 hour days. I mean, you know, someone, we had a guest on who said those were the days where you would work those many hours, that many days in a row. And so I would imagine you were completely sort of under this, you know, bubble of work nonstop for year after year after year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, and it was fine. So you're also sort of insulated from the madness of the outside world, which,
right, because you're working all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's sort of at work. And I was also directing episodes, and, you know, then became a producer on the show, and so that would eat up a bunch of my time. Like, I really, you know, immersed myself in the experience of that show.
Was that your first stint at directing?
Yes.
So cool. I mean, you hear that with the actors who are on long-running TV series, that you get that opportunity and people jump at it. How was that? And how did you love it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Aaron gave me one episode to direct at the end of the third season of the show. He handed me the keys to his Ferrari when I was 23 years old.
Wow.
And luckily, I brought it back without a scratch on it. And so he gave me two episodes to direct the next year. He gave me three episodes a year after that. And then he gave me five episodes a year to direct. He was like, fine, kid, you want to work this hard? Here you go. Start working hard. And so I was super busy, for the next couple of years. But it was, you know, it was my opportunity to go to film school. And so I took advantage of it, and it was really a lot of fun. And I, you know, and sort of when I've gone back and I've looked at some of those episodes, because I've, you know, done some other podcasts, and we were talking about those episodes, and they were, you know, we did a lot of things on that show that even at that time, like, you know, we tried to do a lot of things and tell bigger stories that had bigger themes. That, you know, and we tried to do some things that were kind of more cinematic than just sort of, you know, standard television, you know what I mean? Master over, close up, you know, walk the people in, stand them there, you know, park and bark, you know, we'll do a little coverage. And we tried to do some things that were a little more visually interesting. I was proud of some of the artistic choices that we made on some of those episodes.
Yeah, there were some serious issues on that show. I mean, just my three episodes alone, I was a character that thinks he's gay, which at the time was not being done. And then we were doing steroids on the football team.
And then
the next one, wait, hold on. The next one was like sort of a race thing. Because I just went over this with Jenny and Tori like a few months ago, where Beverly High was in sort of like a adversarial thing with the other football team from a downtown school, and they invited them to the dance, and you had like almost like a race. Look, the show definitely went there, man. Right, it pushed the envelope And yeah. I give all you guys credit for that, because it was not easy at that time. That, you know, we talk about the 90s being very fun and innocent, but you guys used your platform to tackle some serious issues.
Yeah, we did. We tried, you know, racism was sort of a theme that we tried to tackle a few times. There were some episodes later on in the show where we tried to tackle racism too. And, you know, it's obviously something that's been an issue in this country for a long time, and something that's, you know, that's still being wrestled with a lot in this country. Right. And I think that, you know, Chuck Rosen and Larry Mullen and all of those guys that were our executive producers and writers back then, it was a topic that they wanted to try to address a number of times. And I think that they were right to do so.
Yeah, you guys had great writers, really great writers.
We did, definitely.
Yep. Jason, did you find that as the show went on and you got to direct more and became a producer on it, that you as a cast were more involved in storylines and writing and what you wanted your characters to do and how you wanted them to be or evolve? Because, you know, with a long running show, it, you know, I would imagine you get so personally invested in what, you know, the stakes get hot. You're like, this person is me in a way, right?
Well, we would have meetings with the writers sort of at the end of every season to talk about, and the writers would ask, you know, is there anything that you want to do next season? Are there any issues that you want to have your character deal with next season?
Like,
you know, yeah, like they would ask for our input. Like, are there any sort of, you know, like, you know, you're a young person today. Like, what are you seeing as the hot button topics, right? And, you know, is there anything, you know, are there any worlds that you want to see your character delve into, which I thought was very smart of them. And I think you're right. You know, like, the, you know, there is a, you know, you are playing a character, and when you are doing it for so long on a show like that, there are certain things about that character that get much closer to the character of Brandon was a lot more good than I ever was.
I was going to say, was he like a stepbrother of yours or a distant relative?
he was a moral compass, right, of
Let's
the show.
Let's just say Jason had a darker side, right?
He was the much better version of me, I think.
That was in there somewhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that I think Jason and Luke as well, you had the leading man good looks, which could, you know, completely limit you, but you had this vulnerability, both of you, and a relatability that went along with it that you just don't see very often. I think that's why I admired your work so much. You had these qualities that counteract each other, but they blend together. Like, in I don't want to name any other actors, but It was like a magical combination of talent and, you know, and leading man good looks at the same time, which not everybody has.
Yeah, with an accessibility, like, you know, right, that it also felt like, oh, we could be friends with these people, right? Like, they're not that intimate. Like, they're gorgeous, but yet we could hang with them.
He looks like James Dean, but I think I could hang with him on a Saturday night.
Wow. Thanks, guys. Thank you. You're very kind.
Dude, I can't end this without talking about how devastating the passing of Luke was for me. And I thought about you so deeply, man. It was such a freaking shock. I can't imagine how it affected you, but I mean, he was one of the sweetest, kindest. He was literally one of my first friends in LA. And I don't know, man, I don't like to get negative, but I'm so sorry for your loss.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm sorry for your loss too. I know that you guys were really good friends as well. It was tough, man. Luke and I obviously were really good friends, you know, when we were working on the show together. We were really good friends outside of that too. Like, you know, he lived three blocks away from me, and in Los Angeles, and he would just ride his bike over to my house and, like, you know, ring the doorbell, and I'd be like, who's here? And I'd open the door and it would be Luke, man. He'd be like, hey dude, what's up? You know, he'd just like drop by, you know. It was super fun. And, you know, and we worked together, a number of times outside of the show too. And we really enjoyed all the years that we had together. Unfortunately, you know, that got cut short. It's a bit bittersweet every March when we go by the anniversary of his passing.
You know, he was seriously one of the greatest guys, and he was doing so amazing too, not only with his family and as a dad, but on Riverdale. And I was, you know, these things happen now at our age where it just rocks you to the core, you know?
Yeah, I think that made an impact on everyone. People, you know, only for like people like us and our family who only knew him from watching him and you know, just that loss and how precious it all is, right?
Yeah, you never know, right? It was a real freak thing that happened with him. And you know, it was a good reminder to spend time with the people you love and never take any of it for granted, right?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Talk about Tombstone, man.
Yeah, that, yeah. When did you do that? When did, like, between what seasons?
I think that was between, was that between two and three? Two and three,
Fairly early on, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty early on.
Yeah.
That movie was, that was awesome. We had so much fun on that movie. And
isn't that like every actor's dream to be? I mean, Ben and I just showed I admittedly had missed it. There's a lot of movies I missed somewhere along the line, but during the pandemic, we came back, we started watching everything and showing a lot to our teenage son. And we, you know, Ben is like a Western obsessed, like love. Yeah. He's like, we got to watch Tombstone. And it looked like that cast, all of you got, like, how incredible was that? Was that just like dream job to get to play those characters and play together? Because what an incredible cast.
Oh yeah. No, it was unbelievable. And I mean, I used to look at the call sheet every day when I was going into work, and, you know, the first 15 names on the call sheet were all, you know, A or B list actors, right? I'd be like, how can this be that I'm going to work with all these guys? And it was, you know, it was so much fun. And, you know, we were all just playing poker and drinking whiskey all day.
Right.
And,
really getting to play dress up, putting on the hats and the dusters.
It was so cool. We had the best time. And I mean, but also it was, you know, it was 125 degrees and we were in Tucson all wearing, you know, felt hats and wool suits. And, you know, so we did work very hard, but we all had a great time and definitely enjoyed ourselves. And
he was in Tucson in 1993, right after we left, Christine.
Right, we did. That's where we shot our series. So we know heat. We know that heat.
We spent a lot of years in Tucson.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yeah, we were, you know, old Tucson studios and, you know, all those places down there. And, you know, we went as far out as, you know, Patagonia. We shot a bunch of stuff out there. And but the thing I remember most about that movie, oddly enough, was my horse. My horse was named Little Joe, and he was a super cool little paint that I rode. And I spent a ton of time just out with the horse wranglers, just riding my horse. Cause I had, you know, I'd work for 4 days and then I'd have 3 days off. And then I'd work for 3 days and then have 4 days off. And I would just, all my days off, I would just be out with the wranglers riding all day. And I'd ride around down there in those beautiful hills and up on the mesas and stuff. And it was so cool. And it's where I really learned how to ride a horse.
Yeah, you don't get those lessons from just horseback riding lessons. Like, you getting in there with the wranglers where you're out in the wild and just getting to run free. You're not having to do circles or laps or, oh, man, must have been amazing.
No, it's not like going for a trail ride up in, up in Griffin Park.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
No, we're with you, man. We did the same thing, right? You know, we had our wranglers show us how to ride horses and those sunsets and those hills, those bumps on the roads. And it was just, it's a beautiful town. You guys work together. Let's talk about that. Calendar Girl.
Jason probably doesn't even know I'm in that movie because we didn't work together. We didn't work together, Jason.
I was about to say, Christine, you were in Calendar Girl?
I am in Calendar Girl. At the very end of the movie, I did audition for it we had Jerry O'Connell on, you know, a few weeks ago, but, and I did audition for the role of his girlfriend in it and got pretty far down the line. And then my consolation, I didn't get that, but I got a consolation prize of a character at the end named Melissa Smock, who squeezes into a telephone booth dressed in a Marilyn Monroe wig. I had no idea what I said. I had no idea. Cause also when I auditioned, I said this to Jerry, they don't a lot of times give you, if you're auditioning for a smaller part, the full script. They just give you the scenes that you'll be auditioning with. So I had no context really of what the movie was at all. My scene was with Gabe Olds and a lot of extras piling into a telephone booth, which it's sort of like the last scene in the movie.
When he's at college at the end and he's talking about.
And he sees a Marilyn, you know, look alike from the back. Yeah. So that was as close as I got to working with Jason Priestley, that I was on a call sheet where your name was on there, but you were not working that day. My notes
say Christine worked with Jason Priestley on Calendar
Girl. I don't sell it that way, David. I swear I don't say I worked to Jason. I say I had a tiny part in a Jason Priestley movie.
That was the movie though everyone read for. Like we had the White Squall cast on, all my castmates from White Squall. And Calendar Girl was one of those movies that everybody read for. I mean, I know. I read for it. It was like one of those coveted movies. Amazing, great movie for you. Was it a good experience?
It was, man. We had a really good time shooting that film. Jerry and I are still friends.
He's the best.
He
is, man. Jerry is the best. I really love that guy. But yeah, we had a good time making that movie. We all learned how to do a great Penny Marshall impression. that's right. Can I get a plate of bacon, please? You know, she was a wonderful character and you know, super, super fun to be around. You know, she was a great raconteur. She would just tell stories about Laverne and Shirley and, you know, tell stories about Robert De Niro on Awakenings, you know, and, you know, she loved to tell stories and hold up production telling stories.
Oh, that's so funny.
And our director, John Weitzel, was a wonderful guy. And, you know, Joey Pants was, you know, played my
Joey
uncle.
Pants,
you know,
it was
great, man. Yeah, I love Joey Pants. I'm still friends with Pants, you know, you know, so, you know, that movie is a movie that still pays dividends in my life, which I'm very happy about.
I think that was the takeaway that during your 90210 hiatuses, you had to go off and do period pieces only. Calendar Girl, Tombstone.
I tried to find projects to do in my hiatuses that were just different and would allow me to do something other than play Brandon Walls, you know, because I was trying to just trying to do something different in my hiatus.
Well, and what a gift to, you know, this is something Ben talks about a lot. Like I brought it up to David before you came on too, when I talked about my 90210 audition, which I'm sure was a horrendous, like one of those, you never want to think about it once you leave. It's so embarrassing. But I bet the gift that sort of comes with success in that way is that you don't, I mean, and I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but you don't have to necessarily audition for everything that comes after that. Maybe there are things you're going to fight for that you want to audition for, but you're getting a lot of opportunities where they just having you and, you know, that collaboration. So I feel like, you know, because we all talk about Ben was the first to say it. He was like, I was the worst auditioner. So like like you talked about, Jason, like the overnight success. I mean, Ben went through a lot of big jobs he had auditioned for that didn't.
Oh, Christine, else did Ben say was the worst auditioner?
Who?
Owen Wilson.
Oh, Owen. Owen.
Blew
up.
Yes, and,
exactly.
And Judd Apatow said, you have to hire this guy. And
right.
Ben said he just blew the audition.
Yeah. So I think there is something, you know, that is a very difficult art form to master, the art of auditioning, and how great that you got to be given those opportunities, you know, to be able to do something a little different.
Yeah. No, 100%. I totally agree with that. I mean, obviously, the show and the success of 90210 opened a ton of doors for me and continues to open doors for me in my life. That show and being on that show was a life-changing experience, you know, and I'm appreciative for it every day.
That's so great.
Jay, have you continued to direct? Because I saw a trailer for a documentary about the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, about how Harold Ballard? Did you
Harold
direct
Ballard,
that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tell us about that. It looks insanely good.
Ballard was a very controversial character in the world of professional sports.
Controversial how?
Well, controversial because he was, he took ownership of the Toronto Maple Leafs in 1972, and he owned the team until 1989. Right before, and basically until he died in 1990. And he single-handedly destroyed that franchise. You know, he took a team that up until that point had won 13 Stanley Cups. And since he took over the team in 1972, they've won zero Stanley Cups.
And I'm sorry to interject, but Ben Stiller and I would argue that this sounds like the Dolan family and the New York,
very the New York Knicks.
But let's keep going.
Keep going. It's, well, tell us more.
It's not far off. Like he's just, you know, he would meddling way too much in the coaches and the general managers and the hiring, the firing of players, and, you know, would fire players because, you know, for super vindictive reasons. And, you know, 1 year the team is, you know, basically, you know, one win away from going to the Stanley Cup finals. And the next year, all those players except for one are gone, and he's traded them away just because, you know, one of them said something in the press that pissed him off, and so we just traded them all away. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. Wow.
And then no one wants to come play for him.
No, of course not. And he didn't want to pay anybody.
It's
a
culture.
You know, because he was super cheap, and, you know, like, he couldn't get with the time. Like, it was, anyway, you should watch the documentary. It's really fascinating. And he also, you know, in the first year that he owned the team, they would sign players, they would have to go down to the prison where he was serving a 3-year prison term. They'd have to go down to the prison to sign so he could sign their contract.
What?
Oh my God.
And he was in prison for stealing money from the hockey team that he owned.
Okay, we have to watch this documentary.
This story worth telling.
It's amazing, guys.
What's it called, and where can people watch it?
It's called Offside, the Harold Ballard story. You can watch it anywhere you can stream, you know, anywhere you want to stream things. You can just Google, you know, where can I watch Offside, the Harold Ballard story?
It'll awesome.
It'll tell you the whole story. It's super fun. It's, you know, it's 90 minutes. If you're not a hockey person, it doesn't matter. I it's not too inside hockey. It's just a great story about a really
Christine
crazy
and
character.
We're sports people.
Sports fans. Do you still play? Do you still play hockey, Jace?
I actually haven't laced up my skates for a couple of years because I moved to a new town and I don't have a pickup.
You gotta find your crew. Yeah.
I know. I gotta find my people here.
Melissa's husband doesn't play.
No, Mark doesn't. He's a football guy.
Okay. Yeah, Mark was an Alabama football player.
Right. That's right. I'll find my people here eventually.
I want to know what the secret sauce is for you guys. And David, you too, because you've been on multiple shows that have gone multiple seasons. And I mean, our little show that could on Nickelodeon and, you know, in the early 90s, we went multiple seasons. That was where it peaked for me in the television world. I am the queen of failed pilots. I mean, I can give you a nice reel of failed pilot after failed pilot. After
Christine,
real pilot.
You have a movie series that had sequels. How many people have that?
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there is something about, you know, everybody talks about these. And David, we had it. We had it on Hey Dude. And similarly to what Jason said, when we all get together, it is like a sort of 30 years later, like almost like a P.S. And then this happened. And then this happened. Like I am so lucky to have that. But
Jason, I have two words for you, and tell me what you think of these two words. Dual citizenship.
Do you have dual citizenship, David?
No, but you do.
And yes, I do. It's true.
Is that the key?
He can work in Canada as a local.
Oh, you Canadians.
It's a nice thing to have. But tell me, what is that like, being Canadian and American?
It is a nice thing to have. I'm not going to lie. It's the same reason I became a director. You know, I feel like you need to have multiple avenues in which to work. Right. I feel like there's nothing worse than just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. Right.
Hallelujah to that. Right? Yes.
I feel like if you have more avenues to create more opportunities for yourself, the better off you're going to be in this business.
So
yeah, I have a daughter who's studying theater acting, and that's, you know, what I would say probably back in the day was not part of what the, you know, was taught in those courses. It is really now about self-starting. It is about being able to create your own shows, write your own work, you know, how to get those things seen. Obviously, there's, you know, a million ways to get things seen nowadays, but flipping the script, so to speak, for these young up and comers, where it's sort of like, don't just wait around for someone to call on you. Write your own stuff, create your own work with your friends. So, I think that's something that I, you know, it's great that you had that foresight, even working on 90210 at the peak of everything, where it's a very easy time to just sit back and sort of say, oh, this is great. And I'm just going to, but to go that extra mile and to sort of, you know, have the wherewithal to take advantage of that, you know, I think that's so incredible.
Smart. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
It was, I just saw a great opportunity in front of me. And so I wanted to make the most of it.
Are you going to direct? Do you plan on directing something? Do you have something else have your eye on?
I've got a couple of films that I'm lined up to direct. I'm just waiting for some legal clearances to come through, but they should be coming through soon. But I'm leaving for France in a couple of weeks to go act in a movie over there. Awesome. Which will be fun. That's where I'm going to be this spring, and then it looks like I'm actually going to shoot act in another movie in California, which I haven't done in a long time.
Isn't that feel weird? Nobody does it anymore.
I know, it's like the craziest. Wait, I was like, you just shoot in California? Who does that?
In Hollywood movies?
Yeah, what? I know, right? Like, what a weird concept. You don't want to shoot in Vancouver and just pretend it's okay. Sounds like a crazy idea to me, but okay.
Tax credit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to California and shoot a movie. It seems odd, but okay.
I did three movies in Vancouver, and I became very good friends with your sister Justine. Are you guys twins?
No, we're not.
Are you not twins?
No, okay. We're not.
Well,
this is a belly laugh.
Oh my God.
No, oh Christine, God. His sister is from when we were friends, was like the coolest, free spirited, like sweetheart of a girl.
She's super fun.
I stayed at the Sutton Place for months at a time, three different times. And it was like a little Hollywood in Vancouver. You know, you go to the bar at night and there's, you know, I don't know, 10 different productions there at a time. But I mean, that's where you're from, right? I mean,
I'm from Vancouver, and it's funny you mentioned that because, like, you know, I was just there in Vancouver shooting something, and I was staying at the Sutton Place, and I'm walking through there, and you know, there's Mike Cutlets, who used to work on 90210 with me. Like, every time I walked through the lobby, I'd run into somebody else. It's like actor camp, right? Everybody you ever worked with is staying at the Sutton Place, right?
It's a mini Hollywood there, yeah.
It's super fun.
So fun. Best times there.
It is. It's super fun. You always end up, all right, man, I'll meet you in the bar tonight. And, you know, you end up having drinks with your friends in the bar. And it's pretty funny.
Stanley Park and Granville Island. And I will say I like it better in the summer, but... I love that city. I love where you're from. Please send my regards to Justine.
I will, man. Thank you. And she's there in Vancouver, man. I'll definitely send you your best. That's awesome.
Well, Christine, you have any more questions? I don't want we're getting to an hour.
No,
so.
I know we're going to wrap up. I guess my last question, do your kids have any interest in this business? Do you have any budding actors, directors, performers?
My son all of a sudden has started to get involved in theater a little bit at school, but I don't know if it's a lifelong passion or if it's just kind of what he's doing right now because his friend group is sort of into it.
Right.
I tend to think that that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm
always fascinated. Our two kids have fallen into the cliche of They both love it. We thought we were going to steer clear with our son, but you know, post pandemic, he went back into high school, did the play, and was like, "Mom, I found my people." It's like, that's all you have to hear is like, you found the lovable group of misfits. Like you found your, you know, and you can't, you know, they'll stay in that direction for as long as they would like to. It's not something we've pushed on them at all, but, you know, it's sort of osmosis, I guess. Right.
Right. Well, we'll see how it all works out. My daughter, no interest at all.
I think sometimes it goes the other way. So.
Right. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out.
Yeah. You got to support whatever they're into, but, I've seen are you a really good chef? Cause I watch you on your social media. You're always cooking like really cool
stuff. I do like to cook. I wouldn't have the temerity to call myself a chef though, but I do like to cook.
You cook for your family, but not a lot of dads do that. I mean, I can make Taco Tuesdays, but that's about it. Dude, this has been awesome, man.
Yes.
So great to catch up with you.
Cannot thank you enough, really.
Oh, no worries, guys. So cool. This has been super fun. Thank you. Really nice to see you both.
You too, brother.
Thanks so much. Good luck with everything. Yes, great. Good luck in France and California.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, bye. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye, Jay.
All right. Bye, guys.
I mean, another amazing interview with a great guy. Is everyone just nice and cool?
I know.
Or just
our
guests?
I feel like it's so cool for me. Like you've known him over the years. Like I was just the fan. I was just the 90210 fan who didn't get on the show. And this is like the you know, I wasn't a teenager. I was in my early 20s. But you know, that was my Jason Priestley moment. I got to just chatted up with Jason Priestley, who's so cool. Yeah. And I just like there's something his belly laugh made me laugh so much that he laughs so much. And he always sort of, you know, I think the persona, even though he was very accessible, but he was very, you know, he was Jason Priestley. He was super cool.
Yeah. He's always super been lovable. Very funny and very down to earth. But I got to even tell you, like even when I first met him, And through our friendship, there was like a certain magic around him. You know, I don't know if our listeners probably remember, but at that time, it was like hanging out with James Dean or Elvis. You know, it was like
there was a magic
around him and Luke that just you know, as down to earth as he is, he experienced something that not a lot of people get to experience.
Yeah, it is. It's like that Elvis like moment of walking into a room
where the whole world is watching you at once.
Yeah, and I think for you know, he said you make choices, and ultimately the choices are staying indoors and staying home and like hiding out. And I think maybe that's sort of self preservation because I feel like so many of the people who get lost in that, the chaos of that, you know, don't come out unscathed, you know, because it's a tough thing to navigate. But boy, what a cool guy. And we got to watch that documentary. I love a good sports documentary.
Yes. The trailer is on his Instagram. What did he say it was called? A Harold Ballard doc. I'm going to watch that for sure. I mean, we're sports people, so it looks amazing.
We'll
watch it.
We'll reconvene and discuss because that sounds like a crazy story and a little bit Dolan-esque.
Don't mention that to Ben.
No, we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that out loud. We don't want to. We still want to be able to go see the next play and root them on in the playoffs because they're going to make it to the playoffs this year, David. Do we think they'll get out of the first round? That's the big question.
I don't know. Randall scored 57 points the other night and they lost. I don't know how that was possible.
Yeah. He's incredible, though. I mean, I have to say, what a turnaround from last year and his composure. I mean, I know he got the technical at the end of the game but he totally was composed in the press conference. Anyway, we'll talk the next time.
Yeah, we have a great guest next week. Let's not say who it is, but she was on one of the biggest shows in the 90s and
might be somebody that has been requested on our Instagram page as well. So,
oh, really?
Is it? Do you even call it an Instagram page? See, that's how bad I am at talking.
Wait, you're not even on Instagram.
No, we've been through this. I have a private Instagram account, so I am able to read our comments. Oh, okay. I am just not a big, my private account is really just very family centric and close family and friends. And like I said, I'm taking a pause before making any big decisions, but there maybe
no pressure from me. Honestly, I respect your privacy, but I think that next week's guest will please our audience.
Yes.
It'll definitely please you and I, because it'll be great to catch up with her.
Yes. Yes. And have a great week. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, sweetie. So great to see you. Mwah. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.